everyone. This is Duststorm here for Podtacular. I'm sitting down here at New York Comic Con at the close at the Mega Bloks booth, sitting down with a few of the Mega Bloks team, going to talk about some of the Halo sets that are here and that have come out earlier this year. First to my virtual right is Tim Gorham. He is the social media manager for Mega Bloks Collectors.
That's right. Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for taking the time to come out. Next up is Felipe Rojas. He is the product designer for the boys and collectors side of things, and he's also a designer there as well.
How are you? Great to be here. Great to meet you guys, and great to meet the public.
Cool. And then last to my virtual left is Maxime Pouliot. He is the product designer for the collectors division.
Hi, everyone. Great to be here.
Great to have you guys on. So you guys are out here showing off some of your new stuff. You have SpongeBob that you're working on with, and there's some new Assassin's Creed stuff here. But of course, this podcast is all about Halo, so we're going to talk about some of that nice Halo goodness. And you
yes,
were,
let's talk Halo. Yeah. It was still the biggest line that we had here on display, the most number of sets, and I know that we have the most number of fans out there as well.
Yeah. So going through the whole Halo thing, the one thing I think everyone is really looking forward to for this year, which is coming out really soon, is the Scarab. It's the continuation of your signature series. You started with the Forward Under Dawn, and now there's the Scarab. So talk a little bit about that from just kind of what you guys perceive the Scarab to be for the Halo collector side of things.
Well, I can say sort of a little bit about the background. These guys here can talk a little bit more about the design of it and how it came to be. But about a year ago, we actually sort of asked the audience. We asked our existing Megabloks collectors community online on social media, and we asked them what they wanted to see as the next signature series, the 2014 signature series, and the Scarab, hands down, was the number one requested set. We sort of knew it would be. We know that the fans have been looking for it since the very early days, and so we were happy to make it happen. And actually here at New York Comic Con, this was the first time we've had it, the actual production set, the final set made with all the actual pieces that people will buy on display. So we got a lot of really exciting reaction to it.
That's really cool. Now, stuff like this, there's a lot of time and effort that goes through it. And this is going to be more for Felipe and Maxime. Talk about the design process going from, you have an idea of what set you want to work on, and then going through working with the 343 team on models from in-game to coming up with first initial drafts of designs and all that stuff. So whoever wants to start with that.
So yeah, most of the times we receive the assets from the licensor, and we analyze all the assets. The assets are pictures, 3Ds, different other type of media that we could receive about what we're about to build. So one of the things that we usually do is as soon as we create everything, we sit down with the other designers and we go through a brainstorm and we decide how we're going to build this other this vehicle or this set or whatever. Everything is about a teamwork. So the idea behind all this is as soon as you have something, okay, we're going to build, let's say, this car. We're starting building. We're starting getting the parts. We start doing first prototypes. Then we do design reviews. And until we have something that we are comfortable to show the licensor. Then after that, we do a different, more refined passes. And then eventually, we release the first actual prototype with the right colors and what is very close to production.
Cool. So, Maxime, talk a little bit about how you go through the design phase of going through like different iterations of a design. So, going from kind of that first draft to kind of going through and making those refinements and making it to the final design. How does that kind of work for you and your team as you're making the product?
We're doing a lot of different model, and we're going through this process by doing design reviews. So we're all the designer, we look at the model and we make sure that this is the most accurate version we can do. There's also the factor of the money factor, the cost factor.
So we want to make sure it sells,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. We need to make sure that the product will fill this particular price point. So for the Scarab, that was a real problem. because it's a big build. So we had to be intelligent in the part we choose.
Yeah. Right.
And a product that...
Both the quantity of parts and the actual parts you're using, you want to make sure there's not too many new molds. Those cost a little bit more money. So it's getting the part count down, but also the actual specific pieces that you're using.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. When you get a new product that you're trying to pursue, how much do you look at using existing pieces versus making new custom pieces for that set? Like, for example, we have the Prophet up there, so that's obviously a new set item that we haven't seen anywhere else. And there's a couple other few custom pieces for the Scarab on there. So how does that kind of work from using existing blocks to we need to come up with a new block item?
Maxime can answer the actual question itself, but I just wanted to clarify that the Prophet has been in another set. It's in the shadow right now.
Okay.
The Toys R Us exclusive. This is just the holographic version of it, if you will. So it's the translucent blue version. But there are some exclusive figures in there. The Jackal Snipers are exclusive. And, of course, there's a lot of new molds used in some of the parts that we're using.
So, got it.
We always do a first pass without any new parts. We always try to do the model without new design, new parts. So afterward, when we are stuck, that's where we're going to create new parts.
Uh-huh.
And we're always trying to create parts that we're able to use somewhere else in the line.
Yeah, the idea is always try to get your hands on what we have on the system. So that's why sometimes our builds will look a little bit bigger, a little bit broader. And then if we really need that specific part, that then is when we create a new mold. But for most of the builds that we have produced so far, we're trying to do as much as possible everything with the existing parts in our system.
Very good. That's one of the things that I think a lot of people are kind of interested in, because I know for Lego, they really don't go much into doing custom parts because all the figures are pretty standard. They just do custom prints and then all their blocks are standard. But you guys actually do it really differently, where you will make a new mold for if you need new pieces for something like this, which I think is one of the cool things about the Halo line, is because you do have so much in the Halo universe where you can go and make custom stuff and really enrich that set that you're going to get.
Yeah.
We mostly do new parts for the figurines.
Yeah, that's where most of the new parts are. We actually, as these guys said, we try to reuse parts as in every case, unless you're sort of backed into a corner and we need a specific part. But as Maxime mentioned earlier, even when we do that, we try to make sure that we are molding a part that can then be reused in future sets, even across different lines.
Right. Yeah, even we're trying to give as much as possible the priority to the micro figurines. And also the experience to the builders to use parts that they recognize. So they will know that they can build a different order vessel using these parts that they're receiving.
Very nice. So Scarab wasn't the only thing that was here. There's also some of the new Mombasa stuff that came out for this year's line, with a few other sets. Felipe, I know I was talking to you and you're really excited about those. So why don't you take a couple minutes to talk about those sets?
I can talk about the new Mombasa police car. That was a really, really fun build to do. It was really difficult to get the assets for that build in particular. We had to go into the game and basically drag some images and the best images, like trying to pose your character on top of the car to see what was inside. And then we tried to make it as accurate as possible. The only new part that you will find in there is the actual windshield. The rest is made with our usual system of blocks. So that was really extremely, not difficult, but a challenging build also, because we wanted to create like the bumper in the front, things like that to make it look like.
Got it. So with how... Because the new Mombasa stuff is from ODST. It's kind of an older game. So whenever you guys do a lineup for a year, how do you make the decision that you're going to do something that's more of the current generation Halo versus something that's more past gen, like doing something Halo 2, like the Scarab, which is pretty cool figuring that Halo 2 Anniversary is coming out here within the month. And then you're going back and doing stuff with New Mombasa with ODST. So where do you kind of find that line of how much you want to do current versus how much you want to kind of go back and maybe explore some other things that people may be interested in that you just haven't done yet?
Well, basically, first of all, we listen a lot to what the fans are asking. We always post those questions of which will be or what will be the best build. And we try to get as much as information as possible. And then after that, we start trying, okay, what build we haven't done yet. Mm-hmm. And from there, we try to feed our lines. Then it's also what the licensor will request or what the high management will think it will be the best to hit the markets.
Cool. And what's kind of the design timeline between doing something that's like the Signature Series versus doing some of one of the smaller sets?
I'd say it's almost the same because we have to go through all the process anyway. Maybe the section for the building will be longer with something like this cabin, but we sometimes save some time somewhere else. So I'd say it's always about 6 months to do a line, 6 or 8 months. So
okay,
we work on all the SKUs at the same time. So it's hard to say.
Yeah, some of the times we don't have just one project. Sometimes we have multiple projects. Like one designer will be working in three different projects or two different projects, depending mm-hmm. on the amount of toys that will hit that with that line.
Sometimes across lines as
yes,
well. Like you guys both
yes.
work on multiple lines.
Exactly. Sometimes, yeah.
Something like collector's signs.
Exactly. And also is we work under certain schedules, and basically we have to hit that schedule as soon as possible. But yeah, as Max said, there is builds like the Scarab that will sometimes take a little bit more time because of the difficulty and the complexity.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's small builds that are very, very hard to give a good render. So it's not always a question of scale.
Okay. So it's a lot more of how much kind of design specificity you want to put into a build versus kind of like how big it actually is.
Yes. As Max said, to get that realistic feeling into the toy, that sometimes takes a lot of time, especially when you're doing a figurine that needs to be very accurate or just a little environment that needs to fit that part of the game. So the fan can go, oh, yes, I remember. I saw that on that part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The Wombat's a good example of that.
Yes.
Talking about doing it a little more realistic to the game, you guys actually introduced a new figurine type this year. So talk about kind of the decision to go from the older style figurines to the ones that you came out with this year for this set.
Well, again, as all the things that we do, everything has to be reviewed by the designers. So we create a first draft, a first prototype. We wanted to introduce a new feature to our figurines. So that's why we developed the interchangeable armor. And that was challenging because we needed to redesign completely our figurine, our current figurine. So that took many, many, many prototypes, a lot of design reviews, back and forward also with the licensor until we create this amazing figurine that you guys will be able to customize it as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. We actually saw some custom figures. Fans bringing their custom figures here to the booth to show you guys all the bits, different parts of armor that they've popped and swapped.
Yes. As you will see that sometimes you will be able to switch it even with other microfigs in the system. So that is a plus because you could create different new customs from the characters that you love.
That's really cool. And talking about some of the stuff that fans brought in, I saw one of the custom paintings that someone brought in.
We saw some custom painted figures, and then we saw fans who... I had a fan share some Toymations that he made. We've had it's amazing to come to these events because you see sort of the unique ways that the fans are using these figures. It must be so rewarding to you guys, the designers, to be able to see these fans doing what you could only sort of have hoped when you were early in the design process.
Absolutely. It's the best reward that we could have so far is meet you guys and basically you guys telling us your feelings about what we do. This, for us, has been the most amazing experience so far. Just meeting with you guys, listening to your good comments, see how you love our brand. That, for us, is the best payment ever.
And you guys really work closely with your community to kind of help foster and help promote some of that really good custom content. Talk a little about how you interact with the community on the forums, on Twitter, and all that kind of stuff.
It was definitely a primary focus when I started working with Mega Bloks almost 2 years ago now, which was the collectors are so passionate about the sets and about the figures and about their collections and about what they want to see and what they liked in the past and didn't like in the past, that it was really important to me to bridge the gap between the fans and the designers, the design team. And the designers are the ones who ask for that as well. They're always craving new set ideas, new feedback on existing sets. And so, yeah, across all of our social media, good place to plug it here, Mega Bloks Collectors on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram. We often go out almost in disguise, anonymously, sometimes not anonymously, into forums. And we're always looking and listening to fan reviews of sets, and it's so helpful in this to be able to
yes.
bridge that gap.
I will say that we are there. We look at your posts. We look at your reviews.
Listen to your podcasts
all the time. It's for us that is. A very good way to receive information because even if there is something that we release and you guys comment and it already passed, for us that feedback will be very helpful in the future. So yes, we are there. We're watching.
Big Daddy's watching.
Yeah. And yeah, I think it's actually really a great feature of Mega Bloks, the fact that we're able to that we're working with a line of products where we're not afraid to make those changes, like the big change to the Halo figures that happened this year, where we're able to make those changes and we're not stuck to sort of the figures that we were using 10 years ago, for example, just because we're always able to improve those and make the changes that we think would work and that the fans would love.
Very cool. So last thing as we kind of wrap up here, but Mantis was a big showstopper for RTX and a big showstopper here. Talk a little bit about how that came to be. How this monstrosity. Yeah.
Here, the big giant one,
yeah. Did you have
well,
a part
this
of, part
is
of it?
Not an official set, so
right,
it's,
right.
The set designers didn't actually work on it, but this Mantis has been touring with us across the States to a couple of different shows this summer and into this fall. And it was a three-month process for a team of three people. As you've probably seen online, it actually lights up. It actually moves side to side. We were really trying to mimic the RC Mantis, which is a set that Maxime actually worked on. So it's that set grown, I don't know how many times, but many, many times and sort of brought to life in as close to actual scale as we could legally get away with.
But you have someone like security coming down. It's like, what is this thing?
Yeah, that's it. And they didn't like the idea of making the missiles actually fire on our big one.
Well, that just spoils all the fun, doesn't it?
I know, spoil sports.
Yeah, exactly. So what's kind of your guys' favorite set that you've done or that you've seen come out for Halo so far? You have a favorite?
The Scarab? The Falcon.
Ah, interesting.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Learn something new every day. How about you, Tim?
I love the. For me, it's about the figures. So I love the two new troop packs that we did this year. The five figure troop packs: Fireteam Crimson and Fireteam Venom. I love the pop and swapping of armor amongst the same color of figures. To me, that's fantastic.
Yeah, you just actually announced a new collection of figures too this past weekend, right?
Oh yeah, sorry. The just on Facebook this past weekend we announced actually it was the reveal of the last SKU or set that we're having coming out this year, which is the I'm not gonna get the name right, but it's a 16 figure pack with 8 Covenant and 8 Spartans, a Target exclusive set that's coming out within the next month or so. There it is. There.
The Ultimate Battle Collector Pack.
Ultimate Battle Collector Pack.
There you go.
Yeah, that's it. And so that'll be available. There's pictures of that on our Facebook page, Megabox Collectors. And it'll go up on our website shortly. And it'll be available in Target stores everywhere within the month.
Cool. And then the Scarab's going to be out pretty soon, too. Do you know when that's going to be hitting the shelves? Sometime within the month, probably?
Yeah, within a month from now. We try to stay away from giving exact dates because different stores will vary, but it'll be in Toys R Us stores everywhere within a month from now.
All right, sounds good. Well, thank you guys for taking the chance to sit down. I'm sure we'll have you on again to talk about any future product lines that come down the pipeline. So,
absolutely.
Tim, Philippe, Maxime, thank you very much for taking the time to sit down, and hopefully you guys had a good Comic-Con. I know I had a good Comic-Con.
Right on. Thanks
Thank you very much.
With us.
Thank you.